believers' conduct. And but this morning it's going to be more of an admonition into the series. You know, if you're with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28, verse 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Bible says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that word their power is the word authority. Yeah, so all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, where do you suppose Jesus is teaching from? Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, at the time Jesus was on earth, you know, walking amidst the men, what their Bible was Genesis to Malachi, like we've said over and over. So it means that Moses was a fundamental teacher to the things that Jesus said and taught. So when Jesus says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth, the first person to use heaven and earth in the Bible is who? Moses, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the first person to use what? Heaven and earth is Moses. Now, what did Jesus say about Moses? Go to John chapter 5, verse 46. Look at John 5, verse 46 quickly. Look at John 5, verse 46. John 5, 46. Let's read this together. Let's read this together. Are we good? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means that Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would have believed me because Moses wrote about me. So when Moses said in the beginning, God created heavens and earth, he wasn't talking about the sky and where you are standing. Right? Because that will mean that what Jesus said here was not true. Because Jesus said, if you believed Moses, if you believed what Moses wrote, you believe me. For Moses wrote about me. So God created heavens and earth in Genesis chapter 1. Who was Moses writing about? Jesus told us. Yeah? Jesus told us. So in the writings of Moses, we see Moses what? Giving specific prophecies about the things Jesus will do. Yeah, and we've taught it over and over. Go back to Matthew 28, verse 18. So when Jesus was teaching in Matthew 28, 18, all they had as scriptures to them was Genesis toward Malachi. Because at that time, the book of Matthew wasn't written. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, so Jesus now says, all power is given unto me. So the authority that Jesus spoke about in God created the heavens and the earth is what? Talking about Jesus. Yeah, so we've explained over and over to be that heaven is that which is unseen and earth is what? So heaven and earth was Moses' way of writing about the new creation. Are we together? Are we together? So Moses wrote about Adam, Moses wrote about Eve, yeah, but in the real sense, when Moses said Adam and Eve, he was writing about who? Christ and the church. We've taught that over and over, right? Yeah, so Adam fell into a deep sleep. Is that true? Is that true? And God brought Eve out of Adam. Is that true? What was Moses writing about? Christ and the church. So Christ was the one who died. And upon resurrection, the church, Eve, was formed. Look at Ephesians 5 quickly. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 29. Look at verse 30. Look at what it says. It says, for we are members of his body. Of his flesh and of his bones. Are we here? Yeah, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, do you remember when Adam looked at Eve and said, this is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh? Right? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? So Adam said, this is the flesh. Moses wrote that Adam said, this is the flesh, the bone of my bone. Look at what Paul says about that. He says, we are members of his body. So who is the his body there? We are members of Christ's body. Yeah, we are members of his flesh. Right? We are members of his bone. Look at verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife and they shall be called one flesh. Who wrote this in the Bible for the first time? Moses. Who was he writing about? Adam and Eve. So Moses wrote about Adam, wrote about Eve, and Moses said to Adam, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall become one. Now, who were the two people that God created first on earth? Adam and Eve. Yeah? So Moses was saying Adam was to leave his father and his mother. So who was Adam's father and mother? Yeah, so it means that the way Moses wrote about Adam's father and mother is figurative for something. See what Paul now says about it. He now says, this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. See what Paul said in the next verse, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? Christ and the church. So go to Genesis 2 quickly. So Adam and Eve was Moses' way of writing about who? Christ and the church. So go to Genesis 2. Look at verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Who did Paul call Adam? Who did Paul call Adam in Ephesians 5? Christ. So Christ, Adam was figurative for Christ. Is that true? Right? And Eve was figurative for the church. Yeah, so when he says Adam, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave, it was a figurative way of speaking about what? Jesus will leave his divinity, right? To cleave to his wife. Who is the wife of Jesus? You and I, the church. So when he says Adam fell into a deep sleep and he slept, who is Adam? What is his deep sleep? He died. Are we together? So Adam died. Are we together? Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. Look at verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God taketh from the man, he made a woman. Who is the woman? The church. Yeah, look at verse 23. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones. Do we see that in Ephesians 5? Yeah, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Who is the she that shall be called woman? The church, you and I. What did Jesus say? If you believe, who wrote this? Moses. So what did Jesus say? If you believe Moses' writing, you believe me. Because Moses wrote about me. So he now says that she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Who was taken out of man? The church was taken out of Christ. So upon Christ, so Christ fell into a deep sleep. Is that true? He died. Upon his resurrection, what happened? The church was formed. We are now members of his body. We are members of his flesh. And members of his what? Bones. Are we together? Look at verse 24. Therefore shall a man live. We saw this already. And cleave. At this time, Adam had, he did not have any biological father and mother. Yeah? Look at verse. And they shall become one flesh. What is it that is becoming one flesh? Christ and the church shall become one. So what Moses wrote as Adam and Eve shall become one, he was writing about what? Christ and the church will become one flesh, one body. That's why we are called the body of Christ. Go back to John 5, 46. John 5, 46. Jesus says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So who wrote Genesis 2? Who wrote Genesis chapter 2? Who was Moses writing about? Are we together? So, when Jesus now goes to Matthew, go back to Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, verse 18. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Where do you think Jesus was teaching from? Wait, who wrote heaven and earth for the first time? Moses, right? God created heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, right? And the earth was without form and void. Yeah, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. So what is light? Okay, so go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the what? Image of God. So where do you suppose Paul is writing this from? Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, and God made man in his image. Who is the image of God? Christ. So lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God? No, this is not what God looks like. Are we together? Yeah, look at yourself in the mirror. That is not what God looks like. Yeah, this is not what God looks like. Yeah, the image of God is a person. Who is that? The image of God should shine. So, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, So Christ is the image of God. Are we together? Yeah. So heaven and earth, Christ and the church. The image of God, Christ and the church. Yeah, Adam and Eve, Christ and the church. Then Jesus now says in Matthew 28. So when he says, let there be light. Is it the sun? No. Yeah, because Jesus says, if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. So let there be light is what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So from the beginning of time, God had given a solution to mankind's problem. You see, the sin of Adam and Eve did not get God unawares. Are we together? It wasn't when Adam sinned or Eve sinned that God now said, hey, what will I do? Let me go and do salvation, redemption. No, because it will mean that God is not Alpha and Omega. Yeah? If God is Alpha and Omega, it means that he knows the beginning, he knows the end, and he knows everything in between. So God knew before he created Adam what Adam would do. But because of his loving kindness, he brought before Adam was created the solution to Adam's problem. Do you know what that means? See, look at it. Imagine you are trying to create a car. And before you've created the car, you've already built a repair station. Are we together? Before God created mankind, he knew this is what Adam and Eve would do. And what? He made available the gospel. So the gospel preceded man's sin. Did you get that? Yeah? Yeah? This gospel preceded man's sin. It wasn't when man sinned that God was looking for Jesus to send. No, 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 no. God knows the beginning and knows the end. He knows everything in between. What did I just do now? I just tried to explain Genesis in the New Testament books. This is why I did that. Go to Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at verse 19. He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You see, the Bible wasn't written in English. Remember that? Yeah? Bible was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament books, and Greek, New Testament books. Right? Most of them. Yeah? So, we see that they were translated into your language, my language. Now, let me show you something. It means that English is a newer language than Greek. Are we together? It means that Yoruba is a newer language than English. Is that true? Well, except we want to go through all those olden days, you know, chicken fell on the ground and you shall get the point. Yeah? Greek, there are some words in the Greek manuscript that do not have exact English words in the English manuscript or English dictionary. But you can push something close. Think about it. There are some words in your Yoruba dialect, in our Yoruba dialect, that do not have exact English meanings. Is that true? There are a lot of words like that. Yeah, so it means that to be a student of the word, you must understand that your Bible you are reading easily in English was interpreted by a man. Are we together? So you must go back to understand what was said before the man interpreted, because every man who interprets the Bible already has a bias. Are we together? So there will be a lot of bias involved in interpretation. So, when he says, go ye therefore and teach, the word there teach is the Greek word that means to make people disciples. Altogether, it's the Greek word matichio. It means to make people students, to make people disciples. So, go ye therefore and make people disciples of all nations. He now says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we saw that in the entire Bible. This is the only verse that has name of Father, name of Son, name of Holy Ghost. In the entire Bible. We've said that already, right? We've proved that already, right? So, the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost is only seen in this verse. Remember, we said that the Bible was written in English. Yeah? When Jesus resurrected, what name did he give us? The name of the Son. Yeah? So, this is that verse we use for, you know, our footballers now. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. And they start running into the field. They still flog them. Yeah? You see? There is nothing like name of Father, name of Son, name of Holy Ghost. This one is all angels. Yeah? So that is the only Bible verse that is used to actually say that. But we've explained over and over that that verse actually just means in the name of the Son. Now, we also did a series for months to explain that singular word baptizing. Is that true? We've done hours upon hours to explain the word baptizing. Yeah? And we said that that baptizing there is not speaking about water. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah? So, we said that dipping people into water and bringing them out is a waste of what? Time, water, energy. The best you did was you had your bath outside. Yeah, we are not instructed as Christians to do water baptism. You lay your hands, meet Brataiwo after the teaching, and he will give you nothing less than 12 to 13 tracks to explain that, close to 20 hours. Yeah, now, why did I do a teaching for 20 hours about the word baptizing? Because Jesus says, go into the world and what? Teach. So you have to be a student of the word. Yeah, baptizing doesn't make you any better. Well, yeah, we've done a teaching on that to explain that when he says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, he's not saying put them in the water. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What you just did was you had your bath outside. In fact, if the water is not clean, you came out dirtier. Is that true? Yeah? So, baptizing them is actually means to indoctrinate them. Because he has been talking about teaching. He says teach. See verse 20. Did he say teaching them and baptizing them? Did he say that? What did he say? Teaching. So what's important? Teaching or water? Teaching. Right? Why? I don't want to go into that. So he says teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of time. So that word there, teach, in verse 19. Like we said, it means to be a follower, to be a teacher, to be a student. Look at verse 19 again. So, go ye therefore and make people students. So that is why when we come to church, we are coming to church not to just do rigmarole and dance and jump and go out. Yeah? See, coming to church is not an avenue for you to come and burn calories. Are we together? You see, you know, yeah, when you praise God, he will raise you. It's not taught in scriptures. Are we together? When the praises go up, the blessing come down, it's not taught in scriptures. Are we together? When you dance and you are sweating, the best that happened to you is that you burn calories. God is not God is not a local government chairman that is moved by your dancing. You cannot wash God. You know what that means? Yeah, God created you and your mouth. You cannot you cannot wash God. You see, you know, when you worship, when prayer doesn't work, try worship. Try praise never fails. That's why you see we have very interesting people who can dance for 80 hours but cannot listen to God's word for 80 hours. They call it high praise. Yeah? Marathon praise. No matter the name you call it. The best that happens, see, remember we did a teaching on that also. The best that happens when you praise, what God requires from you is the words of your lips. That's the most important. So that you stand like this, but you're saying what he has done in Christ, that's fine. So we are people who are to be students. Think about it this way. When you go for biology class, how many of you went to a school where your biology lecturer wanted to start teaching biology and he brought people to come and act drama? You know, pastor, you know, there's a ministry of drama. God calls me into acting. See, don't lie on God. Altogether, don't lie on God. God doesn't like call people into drama. Yeah? God doesn't call people into... Those are just forms of activities we can do amongst ourselves. Yeah? The way we are asked to share God's word is by preaching. Yeah? No matter the grammar you want to speak. And there are people who have gotten saved by drama. Ha! The art of dancing. Imagine we have dance group. Dance crew. God's Palace Dance Crew. GPDC. And before I just came out now, I just see three people jump for me, three people jump for you, one person jump for you, and I did like this. Well, and by Lemmy's in the room. Yeah, we are to be students of the world. So it means that the same attitude you take to school of a serious-minded person is the same attitude you bring to church. Are we together? You see, I'm not called to massage anybody's ego. See what Paul told Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says, preach the word in season, out of season. Look at it. Let's read together as a family. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 3. For a time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own loss, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What did he say? He says, preach the truth in season, out of season. You know what that means? When they don't want to hear it, preach it. When they want to hear it, still preach it. Because a time will come, they will not... Pastor, you are always saying finished work. Pastor, you are saying Moses wrote about Genesis. How does that affect my finances? God doesn't call pastors to teach you how to make financial wealth.
Are we together? A pastor can go to school and learn MBA and know how to teach financial word, but it's not a calling from God. It is not taught in scriptures. Are we together? A pastor is a ministry gift. Look at Ephesians 4. Till we, it says, for a time will come, they will not endure. So sound doctrine is to be endured. Are we together? Look at Ephesians 4 quickly. Ephesians 4:10. It says, he that descended is he same that also ascended up above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, yeah, that were there some, certainly. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Look how he says in verse 12, pastors and teachers. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are we here? So why do we have pastors? Why do we have prophets? Perfecting of the saints. So the same way Jesus said, go and make people students. So as I'm teaching right now, what am I doing? I'm perfecting the saints. Are we together? Are we together? So perfecting the saints for what? The work of ministry. Every believer is called into the work of ministry. Are we together? I'll say it again. Every believer is called into the work of ministry. What is my goal as a pastor? To make sure you see and hold in high esteem that which God wants you to hold in high esteem. What is that? The work of ministry. It says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of faith. So it means that every church is to come into the unity of faith. It means that every church is to say the same thing. How do we know? That word there, and, is the word that is that means which is. You see, remember I said, this word, the Bible was written in English. So this word there, and, is a word that actually means which is that is. Yeah, for a man to be born again, he must be born of water, which is the Spirit, not water and Spirit. We've taught that, yeah? Water, that is the Spirit. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit, they are not three things we mix together like a meal. Yeah, it is the grace of God Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, which is the fellowship of the Spirit. So when he says, till we all come into the unity of faith, that is of the knowledge of the Son of God. So it means that as Christians, we are to what? Grow in knowledge so that we what? We come into the unity of faith. Like I would say, unity of faith in this verse doesn't mean that we'll do entire sport around area one churches. Yeah, God's palace is facing God's place. God's place is facing Jesus' place. And we're doing table. You can do that. But that's not what Paul taught here. So it means that if you come together and sing and hold your hands together, but yet what you are saying is different about the knowledge of God, we have not fulfilled what Paul is teaching about. Are we together? Yeah. So the reason is that we come to into come that we all come into the unity of faith. That is, hallelujah. What did Paul tell Timothy? He says, preach the word in season, out of season. So it means that a time will come when you will not want to hear what I'm saying, but I'll say it. Are we together? Pastor, you know, let's use this Sunday for business seminar. No, think about it this way. When you go for engineering, to study engineering, does your lecturer use Bible to teach you anything? How many of you study engineering here and your lecturer use Bible to teach you? Law of thermodynamics. How many of you study business admin here and lecturer use Bible to teach you? So you see a misplaced priority. You go to the school, your lecturer doesn't touch the Bible to teach you anything, but you come to church, I'm using textbook of your lecturer to teach you. That's misplaced priority. Are we together? Are we together? So when Jesus says, go back to Matthew 28, where we are. Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, teaching them to observe. How many days did Jesus teach for after resurrection? So Jesus taught for 40 days back to back. Today, if you do 7 days back to back teaching, they will say, Pastor, your own is too much. Are we together? All together. If you call people to church every day now, let's meet. You know, so Corona has come to show that you can have church in your house. See, that we can go with something doesn't mean it is the norm. Yeah, that we can go through a phase of life with something doesn't mean it is a normal thing. All together, we've done a teaching in church severally about how the church we are to meet. You see why people get tired of church? Let me tell you something. If I were to be in a church where I was taught, for instance, today the pastor comes and says, if you don't pay your tithe, your life will be tight. Next tomorrow, he says, if you want to acquire, you have to require and backfire and sit down in fire, you know, until you attire, you acquire, then backfire. Yeah? Yeah, you know those sound bites, right? Itching ears. Yeah, you know, we always want to always fit it. You know, to defeat the devil, you have to be on your feet, not your seat. So that you can eat. What? Yeah? Think about it. Why do you think the rich get tired of church when they make money? Why do you think the rich get tired of church when they make money? Because they've thought that they've seen church to be a means to an end. How are we together? Well, sorry, we brothers are not helping. Imagine what Paul, imagine Paul was coming to teach and say, God is going to move you from zero to hero. Say amen. Everybody say amen. Would they want to kill Paul? Imagine Stephen came into the temple, eh? And he just said, you see, God wants to move you from grass to grace. Yeah, all you need to do is to just drop a seed. Would they want to kill him? All together. You know, like we finished in this series we just finished, generosity. Yeah, nobody gets rich by giving. Remember that I told you I became wealthy because I gave, he's lying to you. Yeah, I don't think there's any country on earth that has people who give more than Nigerians. Nigeria is one of the poorest countries in the world. Yeah? Are we together? Are we together? It's not true. Why are you looking at me as if it's strange? It's true now. Eh? Yeah? No other country gives tithe like Nigeria. Tithing is not the solution to a good government. Are we together? Yeah? So that's why you see people like to, you know, we like to wash God. You know what it means to wash God? To just add more pepper. Eh? We like to wash God. Yeah? Somebody comes and shares testimony and says, oh, as I sold into my pastor's life, I got that contract. But they will not tell you that they sorted the secretaries to the man. They will not tell you, you know, they will not tell you they gave him an offering. So you gave your offering to God and gave your offering to man. Which offering really worked is the offering to man. Yeah. Don't lie. If it's the offering to God that worked, don't give to man. If it's sure for you, don't give to man. Ah! Like I always say, seed sowing is a false teaching, it's a false practice. It doesn't work. If seed sowing works, nobody yet, not I should not be poor. All I need is 500 naira, like I was saying. I just sow a seed of 500 naira. And maybe after 4 days, I just reap 20,000. What do? I remove my initial capital, 500. I sow everything. 19,500. Yeah. After another 4 days, money doesn't multiply like that. Money multiplies by the work of the hands of men. Are we together? Are we together? So you must see church not as a. I said all of that to say this: the church is not a means to an end, but an end in itself. It means that when you are rich, you should submit yourself to sound doctrine. When you are poor, you submit yourself. So you are not one who is poor submitting yourself to sound doctrine so you can be rich. Did you get that? Did you get that? You are not one who is struggling right now. That's why I say a lot of people are tired of church. Yeah? A lot of rich people are tired of church. Right? Because they've tagged all of us now. Prosperity preachers. Prosperity. Come and sow. If you want to go up, you sow up. All those things. No, it doesn't work. It's a false teaching. Yeah? It wasn't taught by Jesus. It wasn't taught by any of the apostles. And even common sense doesn't support that. That was the last series we did before now, generosity. We started teaching that in November and finished end of January. So we're able to explain the tithe. Is that true? Is that true? We explained the tithing. Yeah? Was instructed in New Testament books? No. Are we instructed to give a percentage in New Testament books? Yes. What percentage? A generous percentage. Are we together? Yeah? We talked about first fruit. Is that true? Yeah? Are we to give sacrificially? Yes. Must we give sacrificially? Yes. As an end in itself. So the moment we give to God, expecting God to do something for us during the week, we are doing trade by barter. Yeah? The richest men in the world are not Christians. Richest men in the world are not Christians. In fact, the richest men in the world, most of them don't believe there is God. Are we together? You don't have to believe in God to be wealthy. Did you hear that? You don't have to believe that there is a God. In fact, people that insult God, they get richer. I'm not saying you should wake up tomorrow and just go and start insulting God. Not to be richer. But it's the truth. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus says, make people, he says, teaching them to observe the things I have commanded. So Jesus taught for 40 days, giving instructions. They were to observe it. So the instructions, in as much as we were not there for 40 days, we see them play out in the life of the apostles. Are we together? All together? So we see it in their teaching in Acts. We see it in their teaching in Ephesians, Colossians. So who is that man who is like a student? You know, like I said, what do you call people that do hair? Hair stylist. I know, what's the local name? Hairdresser. Nowadays everybody wants to touch, just packaging. I'm not a hairdresser, I'm a hairstylist. Or I'm not a tailor, I'm a fashion guy, I'm a tailor. Fashion designer, all of that. So you know when it is when you are a tailor or you're a fashion designer, you have somebody that is learning under you. You know people that do DSTV, for instance, there always have people who are laying pipe for them. They're laughing like you've done it before. Yeah, you always have, the boss is always laid down, let it connect from here to here. But there's one who is, what you call apprentice. That's the same, go back to verse 19. That word you call apprentice, that's the word you use there. Go ye therefore and make people apprentice of what I have taught. Are we together? The message of the gospel doesn't include taking over political sphere. Yeah, God doesn't send people to be presidents. God doesn't send people to be governors. If you want to be a governor, it's fine. You have a self-will. You can choose to, but God doesn't send people there. You see, you can go for politics and you don't need to pray to win an election. You can win an election without praying. In fact, you don't have to pray to win an election. The ways you win an election, only two ways. You either convince the people or convince the ballot boxes. Think about it. If two Christians are praying to the same God to win a presidential position, who will God answer? The stronger Christian. The one that is strong is like a machine. Bah, 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 bah. So now, why am I saying all of these things? The mandate that Jesus gave is to teach. We have a textbook to use in the church. What is the textbook? Our Bibles. Whatever one was established as a doctrine in the church must be taught in the epistles, must be taught by Jesus. That's the template we have. Hallelujah. Now, there is something I want us to pay attention today. In the quest of learning about the new creation reality, there's a tendency for some of us not to say that, I'm not a servant. I'm not a servant of God. I'm a son of God, and that's who I am. No. There's a balance. You see, there was not a single apostle who did not call themselves a servant. People that taught you are sons. People that taught us we are sons. There's not a single of them that did not call them servants. Now, that word they teach is a word that means making people to be servants, to be apprentices who will do the work of service to God. Are we here? Look at Matthew 20, verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. Oh, Jesus said, men ought to pray always and pray without ceasing. So we have to pray. Always and always and always and always and always and always and always. But really, there are a lot of things that are, they are fully man-made. They are fully man-made. Yeah, God doesn't involve himself in politics. Few years ago, people said that God made our president the president today. Yeah, some other pastors or some other brothers like me said that God made him to be president so that he's second in power. He would die before his time finished. Imagine the confession from the mouth of a believer. That God put him there so that he would die before his tenure finished. So that the person, the man behind is a pastor. He will take over. The country will balance. America is not the will of God. The will of God is to be found in Christ. That's God's nation. All together. Yeah. There's nothing unique about, look at Matthew 28. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. You see that word there? It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served. Yeah, that's a better word. Minister, diaconia. Yeah. But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So we are people who are sons, but we are serving sons. Did you get that? Say, I'm a son. I'm a serving son. What does a serving son mean? It means you are a son who is in there. Think about it. Your father has a house, a mansion of 5 bedrooms, and you are a son. The fact that you go and wash the plate, does that make you a servant? So you are a son who is serving in the house. So we are saints who have been called into sonship, but what happens? We are now giving ourselves into what? Service. Look at Matthew 27, verse 57. So the concept of being a disciple actually means to be taught, to be trained to serve. Matthew 27:57. Matthew 27 verse 57. When the evening was come, what is the evening there? Evening. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea called Joseph, who also himself was Jesus's who? Disciple. So there's a place of being a son and there's a place of being a servant. That, so you are one who has a combination of being a son and a servant. So you are a serving son. Are we together? So there's something called service as a son. We see Joseph of Arimathea as a disciple. A disciple of Jesus. So as saints, there is something that is common to everybody. Are we together? Yeah? There is something that is common to us all. Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach. Hallelujah. That's an instruction to everyone who believes the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach. And teach all nations. So we have a common goal. We have a common mandate. Yeah? Think about it this way. You know, in secondary schools, everyone look at me. You know, in secondary schools, when you finish secondary school, I want to go to into... No, when you finish primary school, I want to go into secondary school. What is that exam you write? Common entrance. Why is it called common entrance? Because people who are taught from different schools, we come together and write one thing in common. Is that true? Same thing as believers. Yeah, we are all different people, different nations, different everything, but we have a common mandate. What is the mandate? Go! Hallelujah. Go. So we might come from different backgrounds, different ethnicity. We are one in Christ. We have a common mandate. One Lord, one body, one Jesus. One Lord, one Savior. One redemption. One sonship. We are called to be sons. But we are called to be sons, or we are sons who have been called into what? Service. Are we together? Are we together? So what do you think God's call, or what do you think, let me say it again, what do you think God's mandate on everybody is that is common? Go preach the gospel. Being a son who is a disciple. Being a son who is a servant. Are we together? Are we together? So, we cannot all support the same country. Let me start from where I'm coming from. We cannot all support the same club. Either you're supporting Lampard is good FC, or supporting Arsenal FC. Yeah? That's why as Christians, two Christians should not fight over football. Did you get that? Why? Because no matter how different we are outside, when we come together, we are one. We have one goal, one mandate. See, two Christians should not fight over political party. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, I shouldn't be here fighting over someone. Why are we fighting? Because he doesn't support my party. He doesn't support my club. So there are a lot of things we take, we're supposed to see. The things of God, we're not supposed to take it with levity. But what do? We take the things of God with levity and take the things of the world with serious-mindedness. We take the things of God with levity and take the things of the world with serious-mindedness. Have you seen people campaign for their political parties before? I tend to call for evangelism. They say, I don't know what to say, Pastor. Pastor, you know it's not everybody that's called to preach. Some are goers, some are senders, and some are givers. So not everybody is called to preach. So I can just send my money. My money will talk for me. Moment. Anyway, you cannot go send your money. It's not taught in scriptures. Altogether, we have a common mandate. Go ye therefore into the world. Say, I have a common mandate with other saints. With other saints. What is God's divine will for everybody? Look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, can you see that? The things that Timothy heard from Paul, he should teach other men so that other men can teach other men. So, how does God allow his word to prevail? By men listening to other men who will teach other men to teach other men. So as you are learning God's word here, the assignment is that you learn from here and go and teach others so that they can teach others. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, he says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach also. Who shall be able to teach also. Yeah, we've seen in scriptures that it is God's will for all man, for all men to be saved. Is that true? Is that true? So what is, if you ask for God's will today, what is God's will? He wants all men to be saved. So your political party, your engineering party, your doctoring party, those are, see, everyone, please listen to me. Becoming a Christian doesn't kill your desire to be a president. Did you get that? Did you get what I just said? Let me say it again. Becoming a Christian doesn't kill your political ambition. Becoming a Christian doesn't kill your career ambition. If you're a doctor right now, you want to be a pharmacist. The Bible will not tell you not to do so. What does the gospel do? What does the word of God do? It fine-tunes your desires and makes you put priority what you should put as priority. Are we together? Are we together? Like we always say, we're all product of influences. I am an engineer today, or I studied engineering today, because while I was growing up, I saw uncles around me who were wearing helmets, who I grew up seeing studying engineering. And from then, I wanted to be an engineer. God did not call me to be an engineer to preach the gospel. No, I am called to preach the gospel. I am now one who chose to be an engineer. Are we together? That's why in the teaching of purpose, a lot of times when we try to teach that topic, purpose, we say a lot. I was talking with a few friends a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, he was saying something about how, you know, if you follow God's purpose for your life, you can never be poor. I say, okay, we are privileged. So that your needs are met right now at your early 20s doesn't mean that you are doing God's purpose for your head. So if you are in God's purpose, you can never lack. It's not true. I asked him a simple question. Did Jesus lack? He said, yes. So was Jesus in God's purpose? Did Paul lack? Did Paul suffer? Was Paul in God's purpose? What of Peter? So in a quest of trying to be emotional with people, you say, you know, just purpose discovering. When you discover your purpose, all things will align. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Are we together? Are we together? If you want to be a doctor, you are free to be a doctor. If you want to be an engineer, you are free to be an engineer. What is God's purpose for your life? That you know Christ and make him known. That you know Christ and make him known. Any field you want to do it, you are at liberty. When I mean at liberty, I need to be careful. Yeah? In the real sense, we are at liberty. But use by law, use your liberty to serve. Are we together? Yeah? Anything is your choice. So, people, let me ask you a question. People who are doing strip dancing and are making money every day and night, they are in God's purpose? Did I say they are not in God's purpose? I asked you a question. Are we together? Yeah. So, all those things you call gospel engineering, they are man-made. They are man-made. God's purpose and God's will be something that has an eternal value. Are we together? We saw in scriptures, a pastor is one who is to lead by example in doctrine and by what? Conduct. Yeah? And we'll give an example during that series on generosity. Yeah? The reason, so you will not see me as one who will wake up every Monday morning coming to report to an office here and say, I'm doing full-time ministry. People are going, am I doing full-time ministry or not? I'm doing full-time ministry, oh! In case you don't know. I'm doing full-time ministry. If you don't know, better know. Paul said he labored every day for 3 years. He was doing tent making. Yet he preached every day. Is that not full-time ministry? What can be fuller than that? Full-time ministry can be fuller than that. Like we said, it's only when you don't have a source of income as a pastor you can convert the people's silver. Are we together? Imagine after I finish doing what I did now over the week, all my account is empty. Won't I come to church and say, people of God, you know, there's a dimension... It's the dimension I flow in, and I would like you all to tap in, and I'll just give you a testimony of one person who gave me a seed and he said it was prosperous. What have I done? I'm working on your emotions. What will you do? You drop all. Who lives richer? Me, not you. Yeah, who gets richer from seed sowing? That pastor. Yeah, if you have 1 million naira and you give a seed of 100,000 naira, what do you have left? 900,000 naira. Not 900,000 naira times 100 folds. It's mathematics. Mathematics to God is the same. Mathematics is not God made, it's man made. So mathematics to God is mathematics to man. Are we together? Yeah? But in doing full-time ministry, you are what? So your being in full-time ministry doesn't kill your desire and passion to be successful out there. Are we together? So you must draw the line. You must be one who is giving you. So you must be one who is known by your pastor as one who is given to sound doctrine in church. And also you must be known by your boss as one who is dedicated. Did you get that? You must be one who is known by your boss. So your boss should look at you and say, Kai, that sister, she's very dedicated. She comes this, she does that. And when you come to your pastor, she'll tell you, ah, that brother, that sister. What? Are we together? Glory to God. Glory to God. So we see, Peter was a fisherman. He was into full-time ministry. Paul was a tent maker. He was into full-time ministry. Luke was a doctor. He was into full-time ministry. Aquila and Priscilla were what? Tent makers were into full-time ministry. Jesus was a carpenter. He was into full-time ministry. Are we together? Are we together? So we are teaching God's word to come into the unity of faith. Your being a Christian or a believer doesn't kill your desire to be a politician, a doctor. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 3 verse 26. So we are all seated here as believers and Christians who support different clubs. Is that true? We support different parties. We all have different colors we love. Yeah? But there's one unity of faith. Unity of doctrine. Unity of purpose. Unity of mandates. Look at Galatians 3:26. It says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Lift your hand and say, I'm a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 27. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 28. You see that? So when we come to church, when we are looking at ourselves from a holistic point of view as Christians, we're neither Jew, we're neither Greek, we're not Yoruba, we're not Igbo, we are one in Christ. So we are people who are one in Christ that have different daily activities or endeavors. We are people who are one in Christ that will go out to the streets and support Chelsea, and support Man U, and support Barcelona, and come back together and never forget we are one. You cannot be fighting your brother because Chelsea beat your team. Who is fighting you, sir? Yeah? Imagine I came to church and all my body is swollen. I said, Pastor, what happened? He said, Pastor, let's do believers' meeting. Pastor, what happened? Don't mind, those Liverpool beat us yesterday. And you know, who's supporting Eimba? Imagine say Eimba beat Chelsea. So you just imagine I'm just swollen. Imagine I stopped talking to you because our teams played. You know, a lot of times people, the reason why people get more angry when teams lose is because they are betting. So because they lost their bet, they are transferring their aggression. Are we together? Now together. But we are one in Christ. There's neither Jew, there's neither Chelsea supporter. There's neither born nor Greek. Yeah, there's neither slave nor master. Once we are in Christ, we are all one. Hallelujah. Once we are in Christ, we are all one. We are members of his body, we are members of his flesh, of his bones. We are one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So because we are one, we have one mandate. What is the mandate? Go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore. So you are people, we are people who are to give our all to the gospel. Why do you think Paul labored? We started in that series. He labored so that he can meet the needs of others who did not have needs around him. Are we together? So a pastor is not one who is to wake up and sit down waiting for everybody to meet his needs. No, a pastor should lead by example, by walking to meet the needs of those who don't have their needs met among the saints. By doing that is an example to the flock. Ah, pastor is walking, you know? Pastor is laboring. Pastor has to teach God's word, though. Yeah, pastor is still resuming 8 and closing 6, closing 7, closing 8, closing 9. So in my example, you see an example to follow. Am I doing full-time ministry? Yes. Am I giving my all to the gospel? Yes. So your actions, for instance, you know, in scriptures, your benevolence shows where your heart is. Is that true? Your benevolence shows where your heart is. Yeah, you know, if you look at scripture, you see that giving is called a ministry, for instance. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now concerning the ministering to the saints. Yeah, you see ministering to the saints. You see all those things. But never in the Bible will you see doctrine is a ministry. Are we together? Are we together? Never in the Bible will you see engineering is a ministry. Never in the Bible will you see, imagine Paul after he finished preaching, so he now says, I'm going to go and do the work of ministry. So what are you going to do? I'm going to make tents. Are we together? Yeah? Did Paul do ministry? Look at Galatians 4:17. and say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So this is Paul giving admonition, you know, to a few saints, and he says to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Take heed to that ministry. Pay attention. Give your all to ministry. Let me tell you something. You know, as saints, you are at liberty to choose who you want to marry. Are we together? Are we together? You know, like we said over and over, God doesn't choose people for people. Yeah? God did not make you the rib of my rib. Are we together? Everybody looked at me. God did not make me the rib of your rib. Are we together? God did not make me the bone of your bone. You are, look at it now. If God ordained that you are supposed to be, if God ordained that you are supposed to be my wife, and I'm not spirit-led enough to discern you, and I marry a wrong person, every other person on earth will marry the wrong people. Because by default, you have missed me, you have to marry a wrong person. That wrong person you marry, the person that's supposed to be the right for him, has to marry a wrong person. Can I see the cycle? No. But there are certain things. So sometimes some people reach out to me and tell me and ask me questions about the people they want to love. And I will not tell you, go and marry that brother. Don't marry that brother. You won't put me in trouble. So when things are now going south, you now tell me, even Jesus, even Adam and Eve that God created, you now want to blame me. When things are now going south, you say, Pastor, but I tell you, say it's God's will, because you are at liberty. But there are instructions in scriptures you must use to choose. For instance, if you meet me now, for instance, and tell me, Pastor, there's this brother I'm liking. Pastor, I don't know what to say about him. And I ask him, what does it do for God? Pastor, you know, he's just he attends. Pastor, there's this church around there. He attends this church. There are questions I will ask you. I will not tell you. Is in the answer to your question, you know that pastor is saying, be careful. Because express is not far. That's the English way of saying it. Be careful. Express is not far. If you understand it, you understand it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah? Yeah? So, one fundamental question I must ask you, what is the person doing in church? What is the person doing for God? Does the person hear God? Does the person hear God through a man? Does he hear God? Does he have a relationship with God? Does he serve? And Pastor, lay down to mind, she has been hurt in the church. Yeah, she says she's not going to church again. She cannot forgive the church. I think she will forgive you. Look at it now. The church hurts you. You are vexing for God. Eh? The church hurts you. You are vexing for God. But you know, just believe what the church is saying. That's not true. No, it's a shameful thing to come out from a man to say all the churches in Abuja are all the same. Go and sit down. So I told you, I met a brother. He said, what was his name again? His name was Bayer. He said, forget all these pastors. All of you pastors, all of you are just after people's money. I told him something. I said, I know a Bayer who was a 419 5 years ago. All Bayers on earth are 419, including you, sir. Hasty generalization is as a result of a faulty reasoning. Deep. I sound deep. I say the mic. The mic make me sound deep. You cannot just assume everybody is the same. Hasty generalization is as a result of a faulty thinking. So everybody on earth, they are all for one, including you, sir. All together. So let me tell you, if you get hurt in God's palace, don't because of that stop going to church. This is not the only church on earth. See, it is not in scripture that everybody must be in one local church through their life. Even myself. I'm going nowhere. Yeah, that which you got become born again. How many of you are in churches you became born again in? Yeah, but it's a common mandate. So when you see it, I'm giving you tips now. For those of us that want to marry soon, or those of us that are looking for men, those of us that are making themselves available for them to be looked for. You know, people now spiritualize everything. You know, he that finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from God. You have not seen people when they marry, that's devil they marry. You have not seen somebody that you marry a woman, the woman is using your head. She's stronger than you. Yeah? So scripture doesn't teach that if there's nothing like there's a special favor when you marry. It's a false teaching. Are we together? Yeah? What Proverbs was really teaching was that find a good wife is accepted. If you find a wife, God approves it, is accepted. A man should find a woman. You know, there's a, that when you marry a woman like this, things will start turning around for you.
No, there's no one. If you don't find her, oh, did Jesus marry? Did Paul marry? Who is greater than two of them? Paul did not have favor. Jesus did not attend. No. Get a wife is good. Marry is good. It's accepted by God. God wants a man to marry a woman. Think about it now. Why should God treat me that way? See, why should God just create me in my own way? And my whole life will not be going smooth until somebody else comes. What if I cannot find her? What if I find that she doesn't find me? What if I like her, she doesn't like me? So that's true. Are we together? Oh, I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. Yeah, so, but there are certain things you must look for. If your husband cannot listen to instructions, biblical instructions, are we together? Does he go for it? Does he go to church? Pastor, he attends church once in a while. What church does he go to? He goes here. That's why it's always good for you and your husband to actually be learning the same thing. So you're on the same page. Yeah? So your children don't grow up with faulty doctrine, because the younger they are, it's easy for them to learn. Are we together? Yeah. So in this day and time, like I said earlier on, that things are we are making use of the social media in our day and time, make use of the internet, but it's not the norm. Imagine if Corona came here 20 years ago. How will you fellowship? You know, all of us, we have to go to Sabai Cafe. Yeah? And you have money to borrow 30 minutes. You'll be timing. Pastor should be taking mic by 9:45. I will log in 9:44. By 10:15, I'll use my 30 minutes. Then my wife will come and use her own 30 minutes. Then we'll finish service. Think about it. How do you want to do it? That's why, as Christians, and there are certain things you should not pay attention to. There are certain things that should not be your concern. Eh? Somebody will go and labor in the world. Somebody will go and pray. When they finish service, you will come and teach. You will teach you sound doctrine. When you finish service, say, he has H factor. Pastor, say, how are you? Pastor, say, how are you? Fine. That's all you saw throughout 1 hour teaching. How are you? Fine. How are you doing? Okay. I want a church where everywhere is tish. You know, as pastor is preaching, you know, there's a light reverbing. It's called reverbing. Yeah, a light reverbing. I can't go to a church where there's no AC. I can't go to a church where, how can they be using fan in this day and time? Fan. I want me to worship God. How will I worship God and express myself? You want to go to a place where everywhere is tush. You know, we are still the poor ones. We're still spraying. I don't even think it's a sanitizer bottle we are using. That is. We are still spraying sanitizer on our hand. But you want to go to a place where you just walk in and you just. You do like this. You now look at the machine. That the temperature is 39 degrees. You can go. Sound doctrine is to be endured. Yeah? Why am I saying this? Tomorrow, we might not have all these aesthetics again. Are we together? Like I would say, I'm one who is privileged to have had, you know, beautiful parents lay a good foundation for me in ministry. Yeah? It's good I capitalize on it. Anything can happen tomorrow. Nigeria can go into recession. I will not be able to pour engine oil inside the diesel. Where are we going to start from? Make your mind ready. Bible says endure sound doctrine. You can be coming from there. I'll just say we are meeting under the canopy. And we'll just start singing, we have come again. You know, and people who have come with trouble. They will just sing on a canopy. You know, the Okada will be spraying dust on us. It's for the world. It's for the world. Yeah, you see, you must be able to endure sound doctrine. See, that should not be a reason why you choose where you fellowship. The easiest way to know it, an unserious believer, you go to it. You choose your place of worship because of sound. That the instrumentality is tight. The bass is. Hey, it did not end on fire. It's tall. That the drummer is not too tight. He's just good at double kick. He cannot triple kick. God, it's truth. How can you choose a place of worship
because of breeze. For 2 hours breeze, AC. No. So it means that there are churches, for instance, who are under AC, well air conditioned, beautiful rug, well padded. You know, there's some rugs when you're walking, you're bouncing up. It's like a bouncy castle they lay under. Bouncy or bouncy or bouncy. You don't choose your church for that. You don't choose your church because your friends are going there. Are we together? And that's the reigning church right now. That's the reigning church, and everybody's going there. No, you don't choose a church because of praise machine. You know what they call praise machine? Those ones that can turn on everywhere upside down with praises. They start with their tie well knotted and suited, but they live with their sleeve rolled. Oh, your Mac, guess it. Lord, are you ready? Well, tell your neighbor, give me space. Everybody say, give space. Even with this corona space, you know, give space. Give space. I know good time. You see them running. See them running. And they're following themselves, they run. Yeah. When it's time for the word now, you'll be sleeping. Pastor, don't teach. Just give us a word of exhortation. Pastor, just give us a word of exhortation. We just want to be exalted. Pastor will come. He has not even opened his teaching. Pastor, you'll be looking at time. When it's time for offering again, why am I praise us? Everybody bring a kerchief. As if you are doing cultural dance. As if you are doing traditional wedding. Yeah. So you know a serious believer, how do you choose your place of worship? You choose your place of worship by how well they are giving to the word. How well they are giving to prayer. That's why you see, a lot of Christians cannot pray for 1 hour. Most Christians cannot pray for 1 hour. The only time they've ever prayed for 1 hour in their lives is when they were in trouble. You must give yourself to a church where they pray. How can you go through it all week? You come to church. Imagine our service was 9 to 11, for instance. Yeah? Choir sing from 9 to 9:45. We pray for 5 minutes. They come again on special number 15 minutes. Pastor preaches for 20 minutes. Offering time again. You still dance for another 20 minutes. Go. You realize you pray for 5 minutes during a Sunday service, but when you go to the office, you go to work by 8. You are late. They're asking you to do one or two things. You say they are persecuting you. You get to church by office by 8. You are kneeling down, you are praying. Work has started. And you are praying. Give me, I'm communing with my God. 30 minutes. I must do 30 minutes every morning before I fellowship. When you are supposed to pray, you went there to go and what? Waste energy. When you are supposed to walk, you are going there to pray. Are we together? Yeah, so you don't choose a place of worship. You can find yourself in a country next tomorrow. You don't choose a church to attend because their lead guitarist is good. Their singers are good. I like their pattern. I like what they give newcomers after every service. You want to build a church where you see a newcomer. An average member will just walk up to a newcomer. You are this, you are that, you are this. This is this. This is what God will have you do this week. We'll have a lovely weekend. If we have the money to give them Capricorn and Chivita, fine. But not that your new members are always looking forward to Chivita. There's a place for all those services. But the fundamental thing for Christians are seen is the word and prayer. Hallelujah. Say, I give myself to the word. I give myself to prayer. Let's just round up. So, as Christians, finally, we are people who are all impressionable. Yeah, spirituality is in activities. Yeah, sometimes we know your spiritual growth by the activities you attend from the church. They call for evangelism, you don't come. They call for prayer meeting, you don't come. For church meeting for Sunday, you don't come. It's 9 o'clock, you wake up. And you're consistent that way. Are we together? Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Let's just end. Let's end here. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 17. Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, there's something called the gathering or the assembling of saints. The coming together of saints is instructed in scriptures. Yeah, it's instructed in scriptures. That we are making do with the internet right now for the pandemic all over doesn't make it the norm. Yeah, it's instructed in scriptures.
instructed spirit. So the reason I did this teaching was just to admonish us about our conduct and our service to God's work. Yeah, give yourself yet more to service. Give yourself yet more to a local assembly. Give yourself yet more to be a part of a family. Don't just be one who comes to church to attend and leave. You know, make yourself available in a unit and get yourself functional. Yeah, for we will do this work that God has given to us by we coming together as one. Yeah, when it's time for evangelism, come, show your face, be around, come for prayer meetings. When we are meeting online, be online. Be online, join the word, join in prayer. When we're praying for 1 hour, join. When we're praying for 2 hours, join. When we're praying for one hour, when we're praying for 30 minutes, join. Yeah, because the truth is that all those things are for our spiritual growth. They're all for our spiritual growth. Yeah, look at what it says in Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Oh my goodness, I thought I was going to touch something. I was going to say something. The Spirit of God was leading me to say a few things, you know, ahead of today's service. You know, and it was really about the relegation that we're giving to the women in ministry. You know, look at Romans 16. We'll come back to Hebrews 10 quickly. Look at Romans 16. Look at Romans 16. He says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Yeah, so that means Phoebe was a pastor of the church. Are we together? Are we together? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
In Luke 24, let me ask a question. When Jesus was meeting, when Jesus met disciples and said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe, what were they to believe? The gospel. Yeah, who was the first person to preach the gospel? Who were the first people to preach the gospel? Women. Are we together? Mary. Right? First to preach the gospel. Yeah, I was going to pay attention to this today, but let's just see a few. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. Yeah, that's the word, the one who labors, who is a minister of the church. Yeah, which is in Centra. Right? Look at verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she had need of you, for she had been our succorer, right, of many, and myself also. Look at verse 3. Greet who? Priscilla and who? Whose name did Paul call first? Is Priscilla a man? Yeah. So Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 3. Verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches in general. So Priscilla and Aquila were pastors of the church. Phoebe was a pastor in the church. Romans 16. Mary, the woman were the first people to preach the gospel we now preach today. Are we together? Yeah, so ladies here, you know, give into the work of ministry yet more and more. You know, and do not allow people to neglect you or to analyze you or to judge you based on your gender. Yeah, for we're neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. We are all one. We are given to ministry. So a pastor, a man can be a bishop, a woman can be a bishop. You know, we've even over-amplified that word, bishop. Yeah, bishop are now those who wear cashock. Cashock. You know, and big chain. No, a bishop is one who is actually a teacher. Are we together? So a good way Paul could have written that in Romans 16 verse 1. Greet Phoebe, our sister, who is the bishop of the church. Who is the angel of the church. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, give yourself more to ministry, our dear ladies. Give yourself more to ministry. Make yourself available. Make yourself. Don't allow people to judge you based on your gender. Now look at Hebrews 10 quickly. Finally, Hebrews 10 verse 25. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of brethren, or not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Yeah, the only reason why you would see, think about it, if you want to have a believer's meeting, how do we do it online? Say everybody, say who? Imagine you want to have a believer's meeting, how do you do it? So, a lot of people, When you see someone saying, you know, this corona has shown us that we can just fellowship in our house, it's because you've not gone to a church that is apostolic. You've not gone to a New Testament. That's the only reason. Never in your church will your pastor say, have a believer's meeting. Where I edify you, you edify me. Imagine we're in circles. We did that last week, did we? Last week, right? Yeah, when you meet someone, edify. You minister by the Spirit. You know by the things of the Spirit. Yeah? I minister, you minister. We all minister to ourselves. How do we do it online? Church, anybody that says that church can be done online right now because of corona is because you've not gone to a New Testament church.
Because what do you, that's why I'm saying, you will make church look like that place you just go to on Sunday. Where, now, a lot of people use Sunday church now for fashion, fashion display. That my guy, I'll show them. You are leaving your house, you're not going to the church to say, I'm going to minister to Sister Pleasant by the things of the Spirit. I feel a body in her heart, and God is going to speak to me through her, or speak to her through me. I'll show them. Sister Debola, see, she wore this kind of Ankara. I have that one, I have a better one, more superb. Next Sunday, come, I'll show you. Yeah, that's what we used to do. You know, a lot of people go to church because of pictures. You are laughing. I know some people who go to churches because of their aesthetics, because of their pictures. Pastor has not finished sharing grace. They're already at the door. Let me see. No, you didn't get the angle. You're saying, Sister Esther? God forgive us. For we are not men who are building men that after the fleshly things. Oh, glory to God. Every Sunday before service, in your house, you just come out of the door. You say, I'm looking. You say, capture me as my leg is dropping. or you do video. Another one is, capture me as I'm climbing up. Slow move. After they finish, you go to our door, our beloved door. You take picture. There's nothing wrong with all those things. But you must be sure to know why you are coming to church. Yeah? God wants to bless the world through you. God wants to bless the world through me. God wants me to operate in. See, the reason why we have the gifts of the Spirit is to bring edification for ourselves. We should not lack anything. What do I mean? Nobody here should go through a challenge and none of us here knows. Do you get that? So why do you have believers meeting? When you get yourselves in four, five, six people. Yeah, there's someone here who has this, who has that. God says you should do this and do that and do this. Yeah, there's someone here who has a back pain. Yeah, come, let's lay hands on you. That's the church we want to build. May it never be said that people are looking forward to join pastors because of keyboard. Then I'm losing focus. Did you hear that? I like their ushers. They always like when peplum. Peplum. Well, I always like the pictures they take after the church services. There's a place for that. But no, we want to build a church where people come. Oh, the word is there. Oh, prayer is there. Oh, things of the Spirit, they are there. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't want to build a church where after 6 months, somebody say, come to church and you cannot speak in tongues. Talk more of interpret. No, you shouldn't join Close Palace and after 3-6 months, you cannot give a word of knowledge. It just simply shows that I'm not building a church according to the New Testament templates we already have. This is not forgetting the assembling of ourselves together. There's a coming together. All over the book of Acts, they met. They met daily. Not the time, once it's 12 in your room, all of us, let's be praying. It's called corporate prayer. No, they met. There's a place for that. Yeah? He says, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and see much more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Say, I give myself to God. I give myself to service. I give myself to things of the Spirit. Are we edified this morning? Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.